Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nine the game tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Like I said, just turn up and listen.
Best way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 the game tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 the game.
Welcome in 92.9 the game tonight. It is Abe Gordon live from the Kia Studios here. Counting you down to the WNBA draft. I've been told that's what I have to cover, according to Carl Dukes. This just in, Caitlin Clark, number one. That'll be the extent of it. Well, we're going to keep an eye on it. We will. We'll actually update you at 9 o'clock when we get to Outside the Perimeter. But we got a lot to talk about between now and then. A lot more focused here on Atlanta because the Braves are in action a little bit later here tonight as they are in Central Time taking on the Houston Astros. We've got the setup for the Atlanta Hawks we've got to figure out. We're coming off of a busy, busy weekend in Atlanta sports. That includes just a little bit down the road as things get wrapped up at Augusta National. Things get wrapped up in Athens for G-Day. Certainly Georgia Tech and Georgia State spring games were off and rocking as well. So a lot of stuff going on locally here, and we have got to get to all of it. But we have a lot of Falcons discussion. Again, the NFL draft is a week and a half away, and it's starting to get to the point where we've kind of figured out all the discussions. We've kind of tallied who we want, why we want them, what the value is. I think we've gone into the best case versus best player available versus biggest need. We talked about the biggest win now move, but there's one aspect that I don't know if we talked enough about, and I'm going to get into it today, specifically next segment. I want to take your calls on it because I just think there's a lot more pressure on Terry Fontenot in this draft than he's had in any of the other drafts, and I think that is shaping what the Falcons plan to do, and I don't know if that's a good thing. I haven't decided yet if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think Terry Fontenot is really being backed into a corner with the pick here. And so we'll break that all down starting at about 7:20. Got some interesting stuff on Scottie Scheffler, the Masters champion, two-time Masters champion now, at 8 o'clock. The PM Power Rankings at 8:40. We got plenty of interesting stuff going on there. This was a tough PM Power Rankings, if you're going to stick around with us. And I had to do a little bit of research. I had to look some stuff up. Couple of things I had forgotten about, and so very excited to bring you our two topics, one sports topic, one non-sports topic at 8:40. And Will Haskett, a golf analyst and insider, is going to join me at 9:20. We'll put a nice little ribbon on all the things going down at Augusta National. We'll talk about the Braves as well. Guys I'm concerned about and some guys I'm not concerned about, despite whether or not they are performing up to task. Well, we've got all that going on. I'll tell you what. The Braves are very lucky to have escaped not losing that series. I mean, you're talking about down to your last strike. It's an 0-2 count. It's a ball down and out of the zone, and Marcell Ozuna cranks it for a three-run bomb. If that doesn't happen, if he gets under it a little bit, you're walking out of there losing a series to one of the worst teams in baseball through the start of the year. And so there are some questions about the Atlanta Braves. Look, they still lead the NL East. Don't get it twisted. But it does not currently, that does not mean it will never, but it does not currently feel the way it did last year. We're going to talk about why as we get through this show. We got Darius Vines on the mound today. Okay. I don't know how long you want me to be patient with this. It seems pretty clear what the answer is. I don't know why we're not moving to make that work. Allen Winans was not the answer. And guess what? Guess what, guys? Darius Vines is not the answer either. I'm sure the organization has their reasons for delaying on Bryce Elder or A.J. Smith-Shawver. I really don't care what the excuses are. I don't care that it would put him off of his traditional routine. All right, so put him off routine for a couple days. Let's get this thing going. But I'm going to be pretty frustrated tonight if what I think is going to happen happens. And that is a pitcher on the road who isn't the best pitcher available in our minor league system goes out there and gets shelled over the course of three or four innings. I could be wrong. Maybe he shoves. Guess who didn't shove, though? Alan Winans. Guess who I don't think is going to shove tonight? Darius Vines. And I'm not saying Bryce Elder was going to shove either. But I don't love this idea of picking a guy here and seeing if he works for one start. Picking a guy there, seeing if he works for one start. Maybe in between if you need him out of the bullpen, fine. Let's go ahead and get this rotation going. Go ahead and call someone in. Set him up as the fifth guy and just roll. Let it happen. And after a few starts, if that's not working, bring in another guy. But I really don't feel the need to go through this with Vines and Winans and, Dylan Dodd. You got some real options there, guys. You got a guy who was an MLB All-Star. You got a guy in A.J. Smith-Shawver that's still an up-and-coming prospect. One of the biggest arms in the minor league system. So we're bringing in a guy that we traded a bag of balls for? A guy that the Angels couldn't keep? It's one of the worst teams in baseball over there, especially after Shohei left. They have Mike Trout, Hall of Famer, and they're still one of the worst teams in baseball. The Atlanta Hawks get, oh boy, I don't even know what that was yesterday. Unfortunately, that's how most of the games against the Pacers have looked. This one obviously had a little bit less intent. You got a couple guys resting as you get ready for the play-in round. DeJounte started off hot. Trey was doing his thing to an extent. You lost by like 40. Not great. Technically wasn't the worst loss of the season to the Pacers. I mean, in terms of feel. You gave up $1.50 to them when you were trying a couple months ago. At least in this one, you weren't trying. I was hopeful. I know we've joked about the play-in round. I was hopeful about the Atlanta Hawks. It's too many injuries, to be honest. I've lost that hope. I kind of just want it to end. Kind of just want them to go into Chicago and let Chicago move on, and we go from there. And it's just, it's tough without Jalen Johnson, without Onyeka Okongwu. I just don't think you're long for the playoffs. So let's go ahead and get it out of the way. Let's get this season started, the off season, because there are some serious decisions to be made and implications for the future. That's the franchise here in Atlanta. Scottie Scheffler takes home the Masters, second green jacket. It's the only major he's won. And so that's the question you start to ask now, isn't it? I mean, this guy comes in ranked number one. He's the pre-tournament favorite, and he gets the job done. And now you start to ask, and unfortunately, we've asked this of a number of guys, haven't we? Can this guy go on a run like Tiger did? And it doesn't have to be exactly the same, right? It doesn't have to be 11, 12, 13 majors. But can this guy rack up five or six majors over the next 7 or 8 years? And I think the first question is, can he win another major this year? He's been unable to win the other majors, but he's taken home and taking care of business there at Augusta National. Does this feel like the guy that's closest to when Tiger was in? It feels like it was a 20-year prime. We're obviously not still in that. Does this guy feel like he's the closest one? We tried to put a lot of different guys, especially recently, into that realm, haven't we? We tried to slide Rory there. We tried it with Justin Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas. They're all good golfers. But no one went on that Tiger-like run where it was like every year he's winning at least one of the four, if not more. Is Scottie Scheffler ready for that? Stay tuned. I'm going to ask that to Will Haskett. It's going to be one of the questions I have when he joins us in our final hour. We've got Atlanta United 2-2 draw yesterday to the Philadelphia Union. They had a 2-0 lead and stumbled there. But they do pick up a point. Philly, the Union, a very good team, quality side. So you'll take something. I'd like to get Giakoumakis back. I'd like to get Steon Gregorsson back and really see what this team can do. I still get the feeling like when they're healthy, they can play and beat anyone. So we're not healthy yet. We're hoping to get there. But the depth has shown with a couple of young guys. Caleb Wiley, we've known about for a while. But Noah Cobb stepping up in a big way as well. John Sterling is going to retire. Do you see that, Oren? After, I think he said, 64 years broadcasting games, 36 of those with the New York Yankees, of course. Some of the old heads here may remember him because he was calling games here in Atlanta before he left to be the voice of the New York Yankees. So does have some ties here. I know he still has a little special place in his heart for Atlanta. Last I talked to him, this was 10, 15 years ago, but he's still lit up talking about some of the sports teams and scenes here in Atlanta from his time calling those games. And then, like we said, I made some jokes about it, but we are going to keep an eye on the WNBA draft. I am a little bit interested. Obviously, we assume that Caitlin Clark is going number one over. Boy, what a stunner that would be. Can you imagine? Can you imagine something happens and the Indiana Fever don't take Caitlin Clark? I'd love to see that. It would definitely be a revolt. No doubt about that. Someone would lose their jobs tonight. But we will keep an eye on that, just see where some of the other players maybe head off to and see what gets added where. So that's coming up in a little bit. Of course, we got some time before the Atlanta Braves get going as well. But I want to get going here on the Atlanta Falcons. And we're going to spend the majority of this hour, really the rest of this hour, talking about the Atlanta Falcons. And the question at its simplest form, and obviously I'm going to dissect it from a number of layers, but the question at its simplest form is there so much pressure on Terry Fontenot that he has no other choice but to select a pass rusher? That pressure comes from a lot of different places, doesn't it? I think the fan base is the one that's putting the most pressure on Terry Fontenot to select a pass rusher, right? I mean, after taking a running back, a wide receiver, and a tight end in the last three drafts, all of which you knew you needed to improve your defensive line, the pressure on the quarterback, I don't know if he can avoid it this year. Even if Terry Fontenot feels it's not the right pick, even if he has concerns that they should go elsewhere, I don't know if he's going to be able to avoid taking a pass rusher. And so we're going to have this discussion coming up next. Is the pressure that is on Terry Fontenot to select pass rusher going to prevent him from doing what he actually might think is best for this franchise? Again, there are a ton of different angles. I want to take your phone calls as well. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Is there too much pressure on Terry Fontenot that he has to take a pass rusher? Your calls next. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. It's Abe Gordon coming to you live from the Kia Studios here on a nice and – it got warm today out there, a Monday evening. We got you all 3 hours all the way till 10 o'clock tonight. We got Braves baseball coming up, WNBA draft coming up, Masters coming up. And then, oh, yeah, we got to talk about UFC 300. Send me your thoughts on that online on Twitter, at Abe Gordon as well. Again, going to be talking Falcons, taking your phone calls. Is there so much pressure on Terry Fontenot that he simply has to draft a pass rusher? Would you even listen to any reasoning beyond that? Let's get into it next. It is 92.9 The Game tonight, right here on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's get into it. Welcome back, 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. If you're not able to call in, you want to have some conversations in a different manner, feel free to join me and send me a message at Abe Gordon on Twitter. We'll see if I can respond. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just get busy, and sometimes you guys send a bunch in at the same time, and I don't get to read them all. But I will do my best to have a cordial conversation. You know, if you just simply tell me to stop yelling, I don't know if I'm going to respond, but I'm not yelling either. I don't know if it's just energy or like my lack of awareness of what a microphone is. I mean, I think generally I know what a microphone is.
Hold up. You've been doing sports talk radio
I know what a microphone is.
I'm about to say, at this point in your radio life, your radio career, Abe, I would hope you understand the mechanics and science behind microphones.
I thought they used that big parabolic. There's just like a guy at the airport zoning in on our location here at Colony Square.
Spying on you, listening to everything there.
So they have to speak loud so they can send it out to the radios. Isn't that how that works? No, I'm just energetic, man. Like, I'm not yelling at people or things. Sometimes I am, but, I mean, sometimes I am. That's all right. So we got this NFL draft coming up in, 10 days, whatever do you count today as a day? I don't know. We're not going to get into that. But it's next Thursday, and the Atlanta Falcons currently hold the number 8 overall pick. And the question I have in general is, what is at stake? What does it mean for the Falcons brass? And we're going to focus in on Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot, the Falcons head coach and the Falcons GM, when we have this discussion. And I think it does, we'll go ahead and get Raheem out of the way here. Because there's a lot more interesting conversation in regards to Falcons GM Terry Fontenot and what's coming in this draft and what's come in previous drafts from him. So for Raheem Morris, what needs to happen? And it's not really just in this draft. It's going to be over the course of the season, obviously. But he needs the defense to be different. And I'll tell you why for him it's about the defense. And maybe I'm the only one who feels this way, but if the offense does what we think it can do and turns into one of the, 12 best offenses in the NFL, is he going to get credit? Or is that Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson that gets credit? I honestly think we're going to end up giving credit to Zach Robinson based on what the offense does. I think based on what the defense does, we're going to talk about Raheem Morris. And some of that will be overall, how's the team feel, the mentality, the identity, that stuff will be on Raheem. But the play calling, the design, the schemes, running plays for certain guys, I think we're going to end up crediting Zach Robinson on that. So Raheem is got to make this defense feel different, look different, or he's going to get blamed. Now, we're going to talk about it with regards to Terry Fontenot. Terry Fontenot's on a tight leash here. I hate to say it. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's done a great job. There's a couple things this offseason, though, that have made that leash tighter. And I think the draft and the draft picks, not just at 8, but throughout, will continue to add to that. Raheem's obviously got a much longer leash than Terry Fontenot. I think that's very clear. It seems nowadays coaches only get 3 years. I still think Raheem is on a 4-year plan when you're talking about the timeline of Kirk Cousins and then maybe the start of a development beyond that as well. So, with that said, how big is this draft for Terry Fontenot? And because of outside influences, mostly fan pressure, and I think we've heard it here on 92.9 The Game, you guys have been great all the time with myself and Chris Thomas in the evenings giving your thoughts. There's just not a lot of acceptance of if a receiver drops, take it, or if you want to go corner, take corner. There's just not the acceptance there. And so there is pressure on Terry Fontenot. And I kind of look at it like this. For Terry Fontenot, and look, he kind of was in that group with Arthur Smith who staked their future on Desmond Ridder. Whether you think that was Arthur Smith or not, it wasn't all him. Terry had to somewhat go along with it. He doesn't have the ability to miss right now. I thought he knocked free agency out of the park last year, right? Brings in Caden Ellis, works out. Brings in David Onyemata, works out. Obviously, we know what Jesse Bates became. This offseason, a little bit more criticism, right? Maybe not as much in regards to Kirk Cousins, but spending $39 million on a receiver as opposed to attempting to bring in one of the top pass rushers. There's a lot of criticism there. He can't miss in this year's draft. I mean, they have not added any. Have they added anyone significant on defense? They brought a couple of their own guys back. I don't think they made any significant additions. I know they've added a couple of guys in the secondary. I don't even know if they're going to be playing. In a perfect world, they're probably not playing. I guess, like, Eddie Goldman, if he stays unretired, we'll see what he gives us. Kevin King, I think, is like a – I mean, it's low risk. What's the reward there? In a perfect world, we don't find out, right? Like, we shouldn't be forcing him onto the field if he's not going to be that dude. I would like to find cornerbacks and safeties and pass rushers. And it feels like he's put himself in a quarter where the options are very, very slim in terms of what to add. And you're pretty much only adding out of the draft right now. And there's a couple things that go into play here, right? Has Terry Fontenot's first-round picks been hits, misses, busts? Are we unsure? I mean, Kyle Pitts, is he a hit? Is he a miss? Is he a bust? Same with Drake London. I think there's less concern about Bijan Robinson in terms of whether he's a bust. But the discussion was, did you really need a running back at that time? And after 3 years of having that discussion, did you need a tight end there? Did you need a receiver there? Did you need a running back there? I don't know if Terry Fontenot can avoid the pressure of how could you not take a pass rusher? Isn't that how it feels to you? 404-726-0929. Is the pressure too much for Terry Fontenot to go anywhere else? The amount of criticism, I mean, it's kind of wild how good a player would have to be at a non-pass rush position for people to accept it. And at the same time, like, if the pass rusher's just okay, aren't we going to be like, well, you had to try something? I mean, almost gives you an opportunity to miss on the draft this year. Because ultimately, and he is never going to blame the fan base for making the pick for him, but ultimately he's going to say, this is who you guys wanted, and so I took him.
Let me ask you this, Abe. If the pick is an offensive player, does that say that Terry, if the Falcons are, say, in win-now mode, does that kind of – does that change the value, I guess, or the idea of what – where this team thinks they can go, or the trajectory of this
team? Not
if
you don't win. Any pick that ultimately does lead to a Super Bowl is going to be accepted. The issue is if you make a pick and it doesn't lead you to the promised land, and that pick is not pass rush. Fontenot has pressure on him from this fan base to pick a pass rusher, whether he wants to or not. If he does and he gets it right, that's great. You have a pass rush and we move forward. If he does, like I said, if he does and he gets it wrong, you kind of excuse it a little bit because you could just say that's what everyone wanted me to do. And then no matter what, if he goes elsewhere, if the pass rush is still non-competitive, will it outweigh, like you were questioning, Oren, will it outweigh the potential stardom of another position? Let's say Roma Dunze does fall. If you don't win the Super Bowl in the time that Kirk Cousins is here, no matter how good Roma Dunze is, you're going to point back to it and said, well, we told you we needed pass rush. Is there too much pressure on the fan base? Is it shaping his pick? 404-726-0929. Let's start on line one with Josh. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, man. Love the show. Yeah, you know, the one thing I would say is that I don't, you know, whether we go corner, defensive end, linebacker, we got to go defense, period. End of discussion.
So you're more open, though. You're more open, as long as it's defense, you are open to the idea of the top corner.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. And I think that, and listen, I wish Desmond Ridder the best. He's a good guy, but everybody's a bust on that offense with him throwing the football. Kyle Pitts can't perform, you know. Drake London, you know, he's not getting accurate targets. So I think Kirk Cousins is going to make a big impact on that. And I think you're going to see some of these first-round draft picks step up and be what we thought that they would be.
Well, that's the other part of this, and I appreciate the call, Josh, is what do the other guys need to do this year to prove to you that they're not busts, be that Kyle Pitts, be that Drake London, be that Bijan Robinson. And I think they're set up for big seasons. I really do. I just, between the health of Kyle Pitts, between the upgrade at quarterback, I just think he's due for a big year. Same thing with Drake London. I think he is a number one. Maybe he's not one of the top eight receivers in the NFL. I still think he's a legit number one. It's going to look different. It might look the way it kind of looked in New Orleans when Mike Thomas was doing things. And then we know what Bijan Robinson could do. But we've got to see it. And we're still being judged on the idea that we picked these guys when we didn't necessarily need them. And there are guys that were on the board we could have taken. 404-726-0929. Let's continue on the phones with John. What's going on, John?
With the convoluted hierarchy that existed with the Falcons last year, the year before that, the year before that, how can anyone say that Terry Fontenot messed up something, didn't get what you were supposed to get? Because from what the press conference said, the infamous press conference, it revealed that they both were equal in power, which is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of in all of my years of watching and following football. Okay? So, right now, the slate is clean. The slate is clean. I can't blame Fontenot. I can't blame Smith, as a matter of fact, because nobody knew who did what. There are rumors about selecting Desmond Ridder. There were rumors about not selecting a quarterback when we had the number four pick as to who said what. So until we get somebody to talk, we don't know. Okay? Now, Raheem Morris and Fontenot putting together a shopping list. Okay? Now, the collaboration now is that between Beatles, Fontenot, and Raheem Morris, they're going to figure out who it is they want to get. All right? Now, I'm hoping somebody is stand-up-ish enough to be able to say, okay, that was my bust. That was my fault. I did it wrong. Okay? But Arthur Smith was never going to do that. He was never going to admit that. Okay, I've got to give Fontenot and Smith credit for spending the amount of money that they did on defense and the rewards that we reaped from improving the defense in free agency. Okay, but it was the offensive side of the ball that was really suffering. And since the head coach was an offensive coach, since he was an offensive coach, I have this inkling feeling that he was the one that made all of the offensive picks, that he saw people when it got Bijan, overrode everybody. That's just feeling.
Well, look, thank you, John. I tend to agree that a lot of the decisions made were by Arthur Smith and not Terry Fontenot. I quite frankly think that both the idea to stick with Marcus Mariota or to bring in Marcus Mariota as a QB1 and the idea to stick with Desmond Ridder were on Arthur Smith. I do not think those were Terry Fontenot decisions. I do not think that Bijan Robinson was a Terry Fontenot decision, although I ultimately don't think we're going to end up blaming him for that because I think he's going to end up being pretty good. Kyle Pitts, though, and Drake London, I think you start to wonder who was making those decisions. I agree. I agree with him. I think Arthur Smith had much more power in this. And whether or not the power cycle has changed, the question remains. Whether it's Raheem making the pick or Fontenot making the pick or even Arthur Blank calling it in, is there too much pressure on the Falcons brass that they have to take pass rusher? Do they even have any other options? As a fan base, are we going to listen if they sit here and tell us that guy wasn't the best player available? Do you want to hear best player available anymore? Or is it need? It feels like it's need. It feels like we've been talking about need. Because there's no way Dallas Turner's the best player available at 8. He's just simply not going to be. But there's also a reason he gets mocked there. We're going to continue on the phone calls. Rob, we're going to start out with you next. Will you even give them a chance to explain if it's not a pass rusher? That's the question. Do they have to because of pressure the fan base is putting on them? 404-726-0929. We also got to have a little discussion about another snub for Trae Young. I'll tell you what I mean and what happened on the other side. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Live from the Kia Studios, Abe Gordon here talking to you until 10 o'clock on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. It is draft day, and the pick is in here on 92.9 The Game tonight. Of course, referring to Caitlin Clark, who's just been selected by the Indiana Fever. I know we're all shocked. And now the draft really starts. And that's actually a question I had about the NFL draft. Like, when does the NFL draft really start? Is it at pick 3? What does New England do? Do they take quarterback? Do they trade out? Do they go elsewhere? It seems to be at 3 or 4 because Arizona has a couple of questions about Marvin Harrison, potential of trading out themselves if the value's there as well. We've also got the Atlanta Falcons at 8, and where do their minds lie? Are they hoping to trade out of 8? Or are they going to sit there and take the guy that seemingly feels like the favorite, Alabama pass rusher Dallas Turner? And then the question I've been asking you guys tonight, is there so much pressure? Is there so much pressure on Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot to get pass rusher that they don't really have an option? That you won't even listen to the reasoning elsewise? I honestly feel like that is the case. And so we'll see how much that will impact the draft day decision. 404-726-0929. Let's go to line one, check in with Rob. Rob, what's going on, man?
Hey, great show, man. Thanks for having me on, man. Hey, listen, I don't think that Terry Fontenot and company really cares about what the you know, fans think. You know, there's been several drafts that we thought he should have picked a pass rusher, and we were like, we think he should pay, you know, get – you know, Justin Fields a while back. No, he has a formula, and he's going to stick to it. You know, and if you look at the picks that he's been putting out or giving us, he's trying to turn us into another New Orleans Saints. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but hold on, Rob. I want to stop you there real quick, because if you look at the picks, he has not paid attention to team need at all. He has gone best player available. So I'm just telling you what you're suggesting is that his formula, and again, I don't know if these were his picks or Arthur Smith's picks, and you can debate that as well. But according to this formula, what we've seen from Terry Fontenot, his draft philosophy has been best player available, which means you are not taking pass rusher at 8.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Now, another thing is that we're getting away from our identity. If you look at the Falcons' identity, our best years, we've always had a 1-2 wide receiver, two great wide receivers, Roddy White, Julio Jones, Ridley, Muhammad Sanu. We've had great receivers. And Drake London, he's not that guy that's going to be able to make the separation. His foot speed is not that great. And, I mean, he can play maybe a Hines Ward role in this offense, short passes, you know, the flat, but he's not going to take the top off. And that's, we're getting away from that identity, these high flying receivers, and it's going to be the detriment of this team.
So I just want to be clear here, Rob. If a receiver, say Roma Dunze, falls to 8, is that what you're suggesting should be the pick based on the identity you just laid out?
I think that it would help out the quarterback. Even if Ridder had a high flying, you know, a guy to take the top off, it would have saved them in so many situations just to throw the ball up and have somebody run out there and get it. And that's what he really needed to help out, you know, his situation. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Rob. And look, there's the mindset. That mindset exists. Like, if you look at what Terry Fontenot has done in the draft previous years, he has taken best player available. And based on what we expect is, and obviously things could change on draft day, we expect the Vikings, among other teams, to potentially trade into the top seven ahead of the Falcons to take a quarterback. If that does happen, guess who falls? A receiver. Now, you could get super unlucky and Joe Alt falls. Be better for the Falcons if a receiver falls. But based on the philosophy that we have seen out of Terry Fontenot, and again, I don't know how much of these picks were totally in his power, but based on that philosophy, he has gone best player available. And if a receiver falls, that's your best player available at 8. Are you open to that? Is there so much pressure on Fontenot and Raheem Morris to fix the pass rush that they have no choice? And look, I don't want to hear that the pass rush was better last year. Unless you're bringing back Bud Dupree, unless you're bringing back Calais Campbell, you don't have a pass rush right now. That's 13 sacks off of last year. They each had 6.5, I believe. That's 13 sacks off of your squad last year. You don't have anyone there replacing with him. Yeah, you get Grady back. Hopefully he's healthy. Dude looks like he's putting in work. Looks like he's gearing up. But until we see it, I don't know. We thought Kyle Pitts was going to be healthy. 404-726-0929. Is there so much pressure that they even have an option to go elsewhere? I'm not sure that there is. Doug is on the phone lines as well. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Hey, now listen, from what they keep saying, they're going to run a 3-4 defense.
3-4 base defense. Base.
3-4 base.
And
okay, then
you're only going to be in base like 15 or 20% of the snaps.
All right, so unless you're going to run like the Pittsburgh Steelers when they had Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green, and you never know where it's going to come from. I mean, these pass rushers we're looking at, it's not going to be an edge guy. Maybe they do need to go for, you know, the wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean look, you're gonna be in probably nickel the majority of the time just based on what offenses in the NFL are doing nowadays, spreading the field, three receivers, a tight end, that sort of thing. I'm not caught up on the name of a position. That's why I call them pass rush. I don't call them defensive ends or linebackers now. Like, Micah Parsons technically is a linebacker. He's a pass rusher.
Right.
Like, we all know.
Right.
So how, you know, if the guy stands up or his hands in the dirt. Say again?
I mean, would it be better to go for a cornerback?
Well, here's the question. And you're talking about the defensive backs, and you've got two defensive-minded coaches on staff, right? Jimmy Lake, your defensive coordinator, and Raheem Morris, your head coach. They come from a defensive back background. And quite frankly, I think Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell are both better at the things that they do than Dallas Turner is. Like, I've been open to this for a while. I've been saying I actually feel like they're going to go corner, but I it feels like I've been overruled, and that momentum kind of died down. But I thought that Terrion Arnold was going to be the pick for a while, and so either build backwards,
I'm
forward,
still
or forward.
See, you know, some backwards highlights from Dallas Turner. I haven't seen any, so you know.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, Doug. I don't want to go like too far to the other side of this, where we like, I don't know if Dallas Turner can play anymore. Like, there's a reason he was the top pass rusher in college football. And I don't know, like, saying he didn't get anything done next to Will Anderson or saying he didn't have a good year this year, it's not like some rogue idea I had that, like, we should look at Dallas Turner. And so I don't know. I feel like people are going a little bit too far the other way in regards to, can this guy play? Look, I don't think he's a top 10 pick. I don't think in other years he would be anywhere near the first pass rusher off the board. That doesn't mean he can't succeed. That doesn't mean he can't get it done. And the physical athleticism this guy has, the numbers, the tests, the drills, they mean something. It's not by accident that most people view him as the number one defensive player. I personally don't. I think that's a cornerback, but that's just me. One more call. Let's get to Ian. What's going on, Ian?
Love the show. The two guys before must be a Saints fan because he clearly knew what the Saints were doing. But come on, man. We got to have a pass rusher. And this is definitely the mindset, I think, of most of our fans. We got to get some pressure on the quarterback. And, I mean, if that means you have to trade back, if that's what you think, like if he's not worth in the top 10, trade back a little bit. Get that pass rusher if it's those top three guys that everyone's talking about. And then, you know, get some draft capital. And we can spend it elsewhere because this draft is deep in the wide receivers. You can get a quality wide receiver in second round, and then you could have potentially two second rounders and go from there with trading back. So that's my thought, and I think that's a lot of fans' thoughts as well. So
yeah, I'm in line with you, Ian, and that's my whole thing. Like, I don't mind taking pass rusher, and especially if you view that as a need or best player available. I don't love it at 8, though. And if I trade back, I'm a lot more comfortable saying that was the best player available. We got extra draft picks. We filled the team need, blah, 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 blah. All the things that I want to hear as a fan. And if you're set on pass rusher and you want to stay at 8, that's fine too. I just don't know if that's the right value in that moment. Let's get at least one more in here before the break. Let's get Wayne here. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, what's going on, Abe? Hey, I like your show, but I totally disagree with you. Value is what you place on the pick, not what 31 other general managers say. They're working against me, so I don't want to hear anything about what sources say this guy is a reach. It's only a reach if you feel it. I want Dallas Turner. I was here in this dome when John Abraham was getting 10 sacks and four strip sacks. A year, forcing fumbles and turning over the ball. I don't want to hear anything about outscoring. You know, this offense is so dynamic that we can just have an average defense. How did that work out for us when we needed a stop in the Super Bowl? It didn't. Get your defense fixed. If you get you a good pass, we lost 3 games, Abe. Do you remember the Arizona game when Kyler Murray ran 40 yards to get 10 or the guy that was in I forget his name.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs. Minnesota? Yeah, Josh Dobbs.
Yeah. We need a closer, man. We need a closer. I love the inside linebackers. They combined for over 200 tackles between Landerman and Caden Ellis. The defense, we need a closer, man. There is no other way around it. And then we're in the catbird seat. Oh, you want to come up to number 8? I dictate the dance. We have a first, we have a second, we have pick 73, pick 79, a fourth rounder, a fifth rounder, and 2 6. We're in the catbird seat. I'm not letting anybody dictate anything. I lead this dance. So my thing is you can trade one of your third round picks along with your fourth round and go back to the top of the second and get a cornerback because that's deep too. So I don't want the second best of anything. Give me the number one pass rusher, whether it's Verse in your eyes or Dallas Turner, but I'm not getting off my number 8 pick. I'm not doing that at all.
I appreciate the call, Wayne. Hope to see you back out at Falcons camp in a couple of months. Thanks for joining. That's the call I'm talking about, though, right? Like, that's the pressure that the fan base is putting on the head coach and the GM. That was a no-excuses call. It needs to be this, nothing else. And you just wonder how much that is ultimately going to shape the mindset of the Falcons brass heading into the draft. We're going to skip with the phone calls. Austin is on the line. We're going to check in with him on the other side of the break and get to you as well. 404-726-0929. Also, still got to talk about another thing that happened that Trey's not involved in. I'll tell you what, on the other side, we'll also get to your calls. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.